Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and here we are going to talk all about Episode 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. I am not alone. With me here, as always, is a man who I would love to have a rusical party with, Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you doing?
Oh, yes. I would love to have any kind of party considering what our living situation is right now. But yes, I am here back to talk about some Drag Race, honey. Ready for it.
And of course, also, we have someone who I'm sure could do a mean Roger Rabbit, Brent Wolgamont. Brent, how are you doing?
I actually did Roger Rabbit. I'll just say that I was better than him. So I will say that the Madonna musical, I never realized how much it mirrored my own life. Like, there was like slutty Madonna and then businesswoman Madonna and then unapologetic Madonna and bitchy Madonna. And I'm like, I get it. I've been there.
Yeah, this was a really, really, really fun episode. At least I thought personally. I, from remembering what an icon Madonna is to having what I thought was probably one of the best rusicals that we've seen so far, it was just overall really enjoyable. Aman, what were your thoughts overall on this episode?
Yeah, they did a very good job. The editing was also some very twisty-turny type stuff because we got shots of a lot of the queens feeling very insecure. And I know that they do that a lot. But usually there is some sort of payoff when it comes to the actual performance where the queens are actually going to, you know, show their weaknesses and their signs of not necessarily having it all together. But for the most part, all of them killed it. So it was some pretty stiff competition and we don't often get that. And this is what the show should be like. We should be getting stiff competition every week. And season 12 has delivered on that a lot more than other seasons in the past. So yeah, pretty solid episode of Drag Race here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brent, how did you feel?
About the musical itself overall. I mean, yeah. I thought that the writing was fantastic, almost from an intellectual point of view. But I will disagree with you in that I felt like the entertainment was a little bit lacking. Like, I found myself, like, chuckling at some of the things that were done or said or getting some of the things that were said. I enjoyed it very much. I do think there have been times in other rusicals where I have, like, yes, queened it more in my background, but I get where you're coming from. It just depends on what exactly you're looking for in your reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Well, we will get into all of the details of Madonna, the unauthorized rusical, but I think there are a few things that I want to touch on before that, which is some stuff that happened after the elimination. I learned a new word, apollolie, from Widow Von Du, which yes. is fantastic. So when you apologize and lie at the same time, because she was just calling out all the fake bullshit that was going on with, you know, oh, Britta saying, I love Aiden, I'm so proud of her, blah blah blah. So I thought that was a lot of fun. Although the dripping things from her face, we talked about this last week, they look so bad up close.
So bad. So bad. Oh my god. But yes, look, man, I tell you what, The Widow Von Du and I are kindred spirits. I can't with some of the fake bullshit. This is so not me. Like, own your shit. I was totally with Widow in what she was trying to tell these people. And the fact that she's just chuckling in the background is just giving me life. And I love the fact that anytime they're looking for a bitchy outtake, they basically go to the Widow Von Du, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, not to, you know... rain on the Widow Von Du parade here, but I actually have heard the Apollo Lie coined term from one of my own favorite reality TV contestants a few years back, Miss Davon Rogers. She used that term a lot during her tenure on Big Brother 18, and so just to, you know, give her a little bit of a shout out. But yes, Widow Von Du was great because the queens are acting fake. I mean, with Aiden Zane leaving and everything, and then all of a sudden now everybody is like Team Aiden and crying and talking about I miss you. I mean, namely Britta, like girl. Like, even you have to own, like, you don't taste that shit that's coming out your mouth. Like, come on now. Come on.
Yeah.
I would love for Widow to be a Davon fan. I think that might just, like, break my life.
You know what? Worlds colliding. I would lose my mind.
I will say that it's, Amon, I feel like, and I do remember Davon saying that, but I will also say that it's different when they put the word up on the screen, like it's a blackboard. Like, when it actually, like, appeared right there, and then, like, because I've heard people say that before, too, but then it appeared there, and they showed you, like, how to pronounce it and the meaning, and, like, I was like, oh, that's fun.
She got a whole Webster's moment.
Right?
All right. Well, is there anything else after the elimination? It was mostly just that bullshit nonsense. So I was like happy to move on from.
Yeah, same bullshit nonsense too from Gigi and Heidi. We talked about this last week. I know that we disagree on it a little bit. To me, Heidi's still looking for a fight. She's looking for a fight, and she's got her feelings hurt. She's in her feelings. That's fine. Be in her feelings. But I don't feel like Gigi was specifically coming for her. But that's how Heidi's going to take it, and it's going to emanate a little bit throughout the episode a little bit. I felt like also that watching the episode that we were getting some Heidi, like, ooh, is Gigi, like, actually falling on her face? Like, is this, oh, is she actually weak at something? And then in the end, well... we know how it ended.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. While I certainly sympathized with Heidi in Untucked last week, it seemed like during this conversation that, you know, I mean, Gigi's honestly being like, girl, like, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Like, it's not the way that I meant it. I'm sorry. And Heidi just doesn't want to hear any of it. So it's like, which is a bit of a turnoff. It's like, girl, I mean, like, she doesn't want to fight with you. So the fact that you're willing to, you know, sort of like keep this going is sort of like it's you're not really scoring any points with me. But at the same time, I guess I kind of understand sort of like having an enemy in a competition. It's easier to name an enemy and have an enemy so that you can sort of like use that as a force to push yourself. But I also feel like it's kind of draining. It's just like, girl, like, move on. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, just like you're still here. You're still in the competition. So like, let's focus on that.
Maybe that's why Britta went this week. The energy of chasing after Aiden was gone.
I was just going to say that. Look how long they kept around Britta and Aiden this entire time because of their silliness. So, I don't know. Maybe Heidi's looking for an in.
Maybe.
She's like, oh, I found a villain. I can go after Gigi now.
Or she's thinking, yeah, oh my God. Actually, that's not a bad idea, especially if Heidi thinks like, oh no, I'm on the outs. They don't like my looks. You know, they're criticizing me, whatever. Be like, if I try to start drama with the front runner of the competition, they will have to keep me around.
Right. Hey. I love that.
I love it too. Okay, let's just jump on in and get to the next day in the workroom. So no video, no mini challenge. Yes, we are just going to dive right into Madonna, the unauthorized musical, where the queens are going to have to sing, although it's going to be recorded this time because I'm pretty sure the Cher one was live singing. So they're going to have to record their audio and then work with Jamal Sims to do the choreo. Amon, what did you think about Jamal being here instead of Todrick?
Yeah, what's going on with Todrick? He is like there one day and then gone the next. I feel like we haven't seen Jamal in a bit, or at least we don't see him with as much frequency as we've been seeing Todrick. So it was kind of interesting. I sort of appreciate Jamal's energy, though, more than Todrick's. I feel like Todrick very much understands that he has a role to play, and it's to be the uptight dancing queen, you know, strict choreographer. But I feel like Jamal leads his rehearsals with so much more grace, and I feel like the queens respond better to it, you know, and it yields better results, which ultimately is just more interesting in terms of competition because everybody is, you know, at the top of their game. So, I mean, I'm not mad about Todrick not being there, but it is something that I thought about when watching the episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I, for one, was happy to see Jamal. Hello. Yeah, I was happy to take a break from Todrick, honestly. I was happy. I'm with Amon. Jamal's energy, besides being a total thirst trap, was just so... He had so much grace and so much empathy for what the queens were going through. And that really emanated off the screen to me, to the point where I was like, there was no ulterior motive. He was just there to help them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I get why Todrick would be there and why he would be the bitchy choreography queen and why he would take on that role. But honestly, for once, it was just nice that somebody was on the queen's side, because I feel like other times that people are not on the side of the queens, they're on the side of good TV. And while I get that as a good TV watcher, I was here for it this time.
Yeah, right. I really feel like Todrick leads his rehearsals with a lot of Ernst trying to, you know, create this character for himself. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is, you know, his entire career has been built upon his work ethic and creating all these videos on YouTube and creating these music videos and creating these concerts and everything. Like he's known as like a workhorse, and I feel like he wants that to come across when running a rehearsal on Drag Race. He wants to be seen as someone that has their shit together. And yeah, like, I mean, and you're right, like he also wants to, you know, bring the TV. He wants to, you know, have like little shady battles with some of the queens. Like, that's why when some of the queens are like, oh yeah, I'm a dancer, it's like, oh, I'm going to pay extra attention to you then. Like, he just really plays that part well. But it was nice to see Jamal sort of come in and, yeah, like, root for the queens, like, be on their side, teach them the choreography, let everybody be their best. So it was good.
And he was willing to change the choreo for Widow because of the knee injury that I had no idea about, which immediately I was like, oh my God, Eureka flashbacks for like one hot second. I was like, please don't leave. And then, so they didn't go down on the knee. Instead, they did it standing, which I thought was really cool, even though I think was it Britta who said, you should be healed by now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she's got something else going on with her knee, or maybe she screwed it up more than she said she did, because it looked like it was just a little cut, and she was all like, well, like, I can't do this. But I feel like she could have pushed through it. Like, just basically, like, you just have to straighten your knee. Don't do it for the practice, except for, like, maybe one time.
Yeah,
I would just know how to do that.
Just mark it. That's what we call it in rehearsal. When you don't want to go some awful out, just you ask the director, hey, is it all right if I just mark this move for the time being? Because I don't have to keep, you know. Because I get it. Like, no one wants to keep reopening a scab. Like, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you can do it for the performance and just go out there and, like, straighten your leg one time and it'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Or they could have given her... Because I saw Jackie had knee pads for the rehearsal because she was doing the thing on the ground.
Right.
And so... But then, obviously, for the real performance, they didn't give Madonna knee pads. So they could have done something like that. But anyway. Yeah. Okay, so... Brent, we had them assign roles, which it was interesting. They didn't have one person assign. They sort of had to do it as a group.
Yeah. First of all, I loved this. We so often we've seen the, you know, you get to assign the roles and I'll work it out. I love the fact that it was just like, basically, this reminded me of the do-it-yourself challenge from Survivor, where they just like hand it to the queens and then they're like, y'all figure it out. Okay, we're good. Y'all figure it out and come back and tell us what you decided. So I enjoyed that part very much. I will also say that if you're not convinced that Gigi Good is the odds-on favorite to win this season, all you have to do is look at what happened in the workroom in this part of the episode, when literally everybody seemed to have gotten the role that they wanted, except for Gigi Good. She was the one queen who was like, I really want to do blank. I think Cone Madonna is what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then Britta was like, absolutely not. I will not do whatever Madonna was the other one. And Gigi was like, okay, fine. Like, literally, it was the last thing that she wanted. and she went out there and, spoiler alert, she won the fucking challenge on a part that she didn't even want from the beginning. It just, like, I mean, I know at the end we're like, oh my God, she won. But think back to how all this started. She didn't even want this part. She wanted something else. Everybody else is clamoring for their own little bit and their limelight in the sun. And somehow in a part that she has no desire to play, she still goes out there and, from my point of view, absolutely deserved the win, and we will talk about it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think Jan was the other queen who didn't get the one that she wanted. I can't remember what Jan wanted, but she got early Madonna.
I mean, like, to me, Jan was like, I didn't know what Jan wanted. She was just like, oh, I don't want to have to go first. It wasn't that she didn't necessarily want that specific Madonna. It was just that she didn't want to go first. And then after they talked with her for like 5 seconds, or what seemed like 5 seconds, Jan was like, yeah, okay, I'm good. I got this. Like, so I feel like that was a little different, but I take your point, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will go through all of the queens, but just for everybody keeping track at home, Jan was early Madonna, Jackie was boy toy Madonna, Jada was sex Madonna, Widow got Empire, Heidi got Forever Madonna, Crystal got Enlightened Madonna, Sherry Pie was movie star, and like Brent talked about, Britta ended up with the cone bra Madonna, whereas Gigi ended up with unapologetic Madonna. So in this musical, the way that they did it was they recorded their vocals and then lip synced to their own vocals. The lyrics obviously were already written, Amon, but we got to see them going through the recording, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, so obviously some queens are singers and some queens are not singers. And we got to see that. Of course, Jan is a singer, got a pretty juicy melody there. Got to show us a little bit of her vocal runs too. You know, and then we got people like Widow and Crystal that aren't much a vocalist, but for the most part, people still did a very good job. We got, you know, the very tentative edit from Gigi where she's literally shaking as she's trying to sing. Like, you can see the nerves just eating away at her. And I'm thinking, oh wow, she's going to fail at this. Like, she cannot pull this together, but it ends up being okay in the long run. So yeah, it was
okay.
Cool. Yeah. It
was okay.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting because I went back and rewatched the season 10 one, the Cher one, where they had to sing live. And I was trying to decide, how did they make the decision whether or not they have to sing live or not? Because they wanted to still be a good performance. And I think because we really only had one good singer in the group, Britta was good too. So I would say maybe like 2.5 good singers of the group. They were like, no, we need to record ahead of time and then throw some auto tune on this bitch because it's not going to be a good performance. We have them sing live like season 10.
My favorite part of this recording session was when Jan comes out and absolutely nails it. And then you have the Widow Von Du off to the side saying, okay, so this bitch knows how to sing and she sings and dances in New York. That's what she does for a living. Who had the bright idea to let her be the first number in the show and we all have to come after her? Who did that? I was like, yes, bitch, tell it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so funny. All right. Well, I want to talk about these performances. Okay.
Yummy.
So
yes.
First of all, I want to say I think no one did bad, which is shocking to me. So
yes,
everybody I thought
that
did a really great job. Also, the backup dancers, y'all.
Woo!
Ugh,
honey.
Living for the backup dancers. Okay,
yes.
Now that I've said my two major points, we can get in to each of the individual contestants. So, Brent, Jan, give me your thoughts.
Okay, I think that Jan did absolutely fabulous. I think that Jan was like totally spot on in the performance. I think she was living for her life. She was living her best life out there. Everything that she was doing was giving it to us. Okay. I thought she was clear in a way the winner, but I will say this, my reality TV watching and listening ears perked up a lot when I continually heard over this episode that Jan wanted to be the winner or was going to be the winner. I heard it from her and I heard it from other queens later on to the point where I was like, something's up. Something is going to happen. So in the end, when we got to the eventual result, I I will say I was surprised, but only because I'm so used to the way the show does things in terms of like basically spreading around the wealth a little bit that I understood. I felt like I understood what they were going to do. And then when they went a different direction, and I feel like this is what you get after 12 seasons of Drag Race and 5 seasons of All Stars. I feel like how many seasons of All Stars? I forget, like, how many All Stars are in the can and what's been shown. I feel like the show is willing to break some of its own rules. And I feel like that's why, in the end, Jan didn't get the win, because the show was looking around and saw that there was one queen who just went the extra mile beyond. And we can talk about Gigi in a bit. But overall, Jan was absolutely spectacular. Any other season, she's clearing away the winner. She's just on a season with an absolute fucking star. And sorry about it, them's the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I sense I don't have a lot of support from the panel.
No, I'm hearing Amon just
I'm
like
hearing
sigh
sighs.
In the background.
Amon, okay.
Tell us how you feel.
Tell me why I'm wrong. Why I'm wrong, Amon.
Okay,
go ahead.
So the name of the game is do whatever it is that the challenge is asking you to do. This is a singing and dancing competition, meaning that the best singer, the best dancer should win. Jan, the best singer, far and away in this competition. Also, the choreography that she was given, more intricate than some of the other queens. Not all of them.
Oh, yeah. See, I that one I can't go with you on. It was good choreography. I felt like it was a little repetitive, a little, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Whereas I felt like other people had more to do, and not just because of the tricks, but I felt like there were, it took a different level of performance to attain what I saw.
I saw in other performances was the reliance on backed up dancers. That's what I saw, where I saw Jan holding her own the entire time. No gimmicks, no flips, no watch me as I'm getting picked up by a bunch of men. Nothing, none of that. All Jan herself. And I am not even a just Jan, bitch. And I am not even the biggest Jan fan. I came into this competition thinking, oh my God, so she's the student of the season. She's the one that's watched all the episodes. She's the one that is going to be overly cerebral and think about everything. But this bitch was in her element this entire time. Just she did not miss a mark. I just felt like everything was spot on. Everything
that
you want in this kind of challenge was there. And I'm just and she had a longer bit on stage than some of the other ones did. Like, if I timed some of the performances, she was one of the longer ones. So she was out there and had more to do than some of the other queens, where the next one, Jackie, was there for about 2/3 of the time that Jan was. So it's just, I'm having an issue here when it comes to the results of the competition, because I'm not seeing what the judges are seeing.
I want to be clear that for those people out there listening, that my love for Gigi Good here is not in any way an indictment of Jan. Jan did nothing wrong. She did everything right. It's just that I felt like, we might as well talk about Gigi Good, because mm-hmm. I feel like we are talking about her. Like, I felt like Leon, do you want to talk? Before we move on to Gigi Good and the, you know, winner of it all, do you want to break
no,
the tie here
I,
between
well,
me and Amon?
So, I mean, here's the thing. I think it ultimately is a comparison between these two, because Gigi was the winner that was declared on the show. And I think that a lot of people, myself included, thought that Jan was the winner. So really, I like, you know, we have to kind of compare the two. And I think for me, Jan was outstanding. I completely agree with Amon. This is a singing and dancing challenge. What the hell else could Jan have done? You know what I mean? However, Gigi has it. I don't know what it is, but she has it. There is something just mesmerizing about watching her. So I understand why she's a front runner and I understand why the judges love her. However, that being said, when I look holistically at the performance, the runway, like, sure, put Gigi in the top, but give this to fucking Jan. Like, she killed this. And she is such a good singer. I mean, even if you compare, like, okay, sure, there's some variation even in the choreography. Like, if you think, oh, maybe Gigi's was more intricate or, you know, Jan's was maybe more basic. But when you, the singing, like, Jan was miles ahead, I think, of everybody else in terms of the singing. And that really, that coupled with the runway really should have given her the win, Brent.
I just feel like, okay, so I watched Jan. She was fabulous. She was everything I was living for. Everything I wanted her to be, she was giving me. But then when I saw Gigi Good come out on the stage and the way she moves, every part of her choreography, everything had a sense of purpose. All of the movements had a sense of movement as far as what they were connected to the song and in terms of trying to get across what she was saying in the words. I felt like everything that she was doing on stage was just so far above what Jan was doing insofar as just kind of moving back and forth, kind of a one-step, two-step kind of thing. I felt like Gigi's choreography was just sublime. The way she moved like Madonna on the stage. She is an absolute fucking star. And I take your point that this is a singing and dancing challenge, and thus Jan, obviously being the superior singer in this instance, should be the winner. But this is also a reality TV show, and you can't deny the star power that is emanating from Gigi Good. And frankly, I feel like part of the reason why this happened is because Rue is a little bored after 12 seasons on the show. And I can't remember, has there ever been a time where they have awarded a win back to back like this, aside from maybe like Final Five to Final Four? Like, I don't think this happened often. I remember like Sharon Needles on her season won the first episode, then was immune for the second episode, then won the third episode. But I don't remember something like this happening. And I feel like that Rue was just so blown the fuck away by what Gigi put out there that she was like, you know what? You surpassed. Here's the thing. It's all about expectations. Everybody knew that Jan was going to kill it. Everybody knew that Jan was a great singer. And so they were like, oh, yes, queen, we're living for you when she's out there. But Gigi Good, we were like, oh, my God, she's failing. It doesn't look like she's going to be able to do this. Like, Michelle was in the rehearsal and was like listening to her. And then she comes out there and gives us that. It's like, you have no fucking weakness. And we bow down to you, you fucking amazing queen. So that's where I guess I'm coming from on Gigi Good. Like, I knew Jan was going to give it to us, but Gigi was just, she was just, and I'm not, like, remember at the beginning of the season, I'm like, I love the fact that I'm so wrong about this, because at the beginning of the season, I was like, Gigi Good just reminds me totally of Cameron Michaels. She is so not Cameron Michaels. She is so far above what Cameron Michaels ever could have been. Sorry, Amon, go.
Well,
let me ask you this. Do you feel like that Gigi was second in this challenge?
Sure.
Okay. So it's not like you think like she was like, you know, safe or something.
I just don't think that she deserved to win. And like, just because somebody is expected to already do well doesn't negate the fact that they did well. Like, it, she, like, yeah, Jan just was just, she had it all. And Gigi's choreography, I mean, it's like, okay, so what are we going to award here? You know what I mean? Because if people, we can already agree that some people's choreography was more intricate than others. So if we can't judge based off of the intricacy of the choreography because of the fact that it's not fair that way, because you can't, it's, you're going to indict somebody else that got simpler choreography because the other queens didn't, then what else are we going to judge? And that's when you fall back on the singing. Better singer, just better singer. I mean, if you just want to judge the charisma of it all and the stage presence of it all, Jan has stage presence and she was the better singer. So I just, I don't know.
I feel like where Rue's coming from, to me, where Rue's coming from is that Gigi's, like, Jan's singing was amazing and Gigi's was passable. But in terms of star power and wattage on the stage, to me, there was just no denying that Gigi was fantastically, like, that extra it that Liana talked about. But I understand where you're coming from. Like, you know, if they had crowned Jan, we'd all been like standing her and saying, yes, bitch, you did it. And, you know, we're so happy for her. But like, you had, weren't your ears perking up the entire episode, Liana and Amon, when they said over and over that Jan was going to be the winner of the challenge, how she wanted to be the winner of this challenge? Like, the show never gives it to you like that. Like, you didn't sense that it was coming, or maybe
I did feel like it was a lot. Like, they will do that sometimes where it'll be, you know, Jan saying, well, I haven't won any challenges yet, but I'm feeling really good about this one. It won't right. be so heavy handed where it's like, yeah. Jan's going to win. So, yeah, I probably should have. If I had been watching intelligently, I would have noticed. But I was just so convinced that Jan was going to win. And when she sang, like, my God, I thought it was a done deal.
Right. I think they were looking for their Susan Lucci is denied her Emmy on the 15th try moment where, like, you get that, like, because I feel like, Amon, I know that you're not with me on this, but just for like the shock of it all and the look on Jan's face, and she could not hide her disgust over this decision. I feel like kind of worth it. I'm just saying.
It just sours her for me. You know what I mean? Because I
she'll win next week. Come on.
I love the fact that she is, Gigi's great. She's great. Obviously, okay. She is great. All She's right. great, but now I'm like, when somebody wins like this, I'm like, that's, it makes me question the entire legitimacy of their crown in the long run, because it's like, why?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Why are we? Like, I mean, and I'm not saying that somebody deserves to win because they haven't already, but it's just like, for this to be the win that you were giving her when there is clearly somebody else that does things better than she does, but you're awarding her because of the fact that you like the way that she looks on stage. Because let's be real, that's what it's about. I don't think it's about star power. Plenty of them have star power. That is like what gets you cast on the show. Anyway, I don't think that Gigi's performance was that much better. You asked if she deserved to be second. I don't think she's that much better than what Jada gave us.
Ugh, Jada was so good.
Does it have to do more with the fact that, and I mean, I don't pull out this card often, but maybe it's because it's a Madonna musical and you're giving it to somebody that actually looks a bit more like Madonna. People like Jada don't look like fucking Madonna. You know what I mean? So you're already going into it with this illusion sort of broken, because you're like, oh, look at this black queen up there. You know, clearly impersonating Madonna, but like part of the image is gone because of the color of her skin. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm just having a hard time with this one, because I clearly feel like there's a far and away winner.
Everybody who's listening to this right now is like, yes, Amon, thank you for saying that. That's honestly a point I hadn't really considered before, is that I feel like that Rue may have fallen into that trap of, like, you look more like a Madonna and you're giving me Madonna, and thus I'm going to give it to you because you've given me Madonna. Liana, are you with me on that or not?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, for me personally, if I'm just trying to rank who I would put where, I would have Jan as the far and above winner of this one. Then for me, I think it's really freaking tough. I thought I'd probably put Jada in my top two. I don't even know who the bottom would probably be Jackie, Heidi, and I think that the bottom I would agree with. But then as far as who else was in the top, I mean, everybody did really good.
I didn't feel like Crystal deserved to be in the top. I felt like either Jada or Widow. I really enjoyed what Widow was giving me.
Yeah,
I really did. But I'm a Widow stan, so I'm like, well, maybe that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought Jada, if anyone deserved to be in the top, I thought it was her, because I just could not take my eyes off of her.
Yeah, I will say this, Amon. Maybe you don't agree with this either, because I know that we've talked about this before and you don't like the participation trophy of it all. Like, I saw somebody on Twitter say that they should have given both of them the win. Like, if Rue really wanted to give Gigi $5,000 again, they really should have given it to Jan as well, and like crowned them both like they did during Snatch Game a couple seasons back, because like Rue's done that before. She's done that before, where she's given both queens the win, where somebody surprised her. I still think that they wanted the face crack of it all, of Jan thinking that she had it in the bag. And also, I don't think that Jan did herself any favors with some of her confessionals. She was like talking about the fact that, you know, oh, like, you know, this is my challenge, I know I can win it, like, you know, and all the other queens are like talking about how great Jan is, and Jan's like, I killed it, I know I did, like, this is so great. Like, they were waiting for her to just fall in their trap. So I feel like in some ways it's because of Jan, not in totally in so much as what Gigi was giving us.
I mean, you're right. It is a TV show at the end of the day, and a lot of the times they are going to do things that are going to, you know, fulfill whatever storylines that they have in mind for the characters.
But we love Jan, though. I don't think they counted on that. Like, I mean, like, it would be one thing if it was somebody who we didn't really care about, but we've all been asking, like, why isn't Jan in the top? And then
right. She
gets there and we're all like, we're ready. Oh, we're like, oh, thank God, crown the bitch.
Right. And that's
then when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's my problem, though, because it's like it'd be one thing if she, you know, gave them all these confessionals about wanting to win and then ended up actually doing bad. But she wanted to win and she did the damn thing. So it's like, what do you want to award? Do you want to award? Are we constantly going to be inundated with the underdog story of it all? Because you show Gigi messing up in the rehearsal. You have her to the point where she's literally shaking because she's so nervous about having to sing. And then you give her the win because, oh my God, look, she overcame. Or do you want to give it to somebody who actually has been doing what the judges have been telling her to do, not only to her, but to other queens because she studies the show and she's finally here and then she kills the challenge that she can do and then you don't give it to her. It's just like, what is the awarding system? What do you want us to do? Do you want queens to be on the show and not be hungry for it? Do you want them to not be in their confessionals and be like, oh, you know, I've been wanting this for so long and I can't believe that I'm finally here and I'm gonna fucking give it to you, and then that's it. Like, you don't give it to them, and when they actually do well, like, what do we want here? Because if that's what queens are going to do, I'm worried about getting the Jan edit. I don't want to be seen as too much of a front runner. I don't want to be seen as too much
of a Cracker edit. Isn't it the Miss Cracker edit? Like, I feel like it's the same thing. It's the contestant that like knows everything about the show that is like kind of a little bit ass kissy in terms of how much they love the show, that I don't think that Rue responds well to that. Like, to me, it's clear that
but Miss Cracker also didn't perform very well in some of the challenges where I was like, you didn't. But Jan has been delivering on a consistent basis.
She has been.
And with the runways. It's just like, damn. Like, I hate to sound, because I feel like a lot of people have already been making the exact same points that I have been making, but it's just.
No, it's great. It's great to hear you say it, though, Mon.
Feel like. I don't know. I just feel like this was like a really bad. And I think it's also wrapped up with the fact that because of the whole Sherry Pie-ness of it all, the ending of the season has been we can kind of see the writing on the wall. So I feel like some of us are also annoyed with the fact that it's becoming very predictable at this point, because since season 8, we haven't seen anybody win 3 challenges this early. The last one was Bob the Drag Queen, and what did he do? He won. So it's really
Bob
looking.
Bob the Drag Queen didn't have to get through a lip sync for your life at the end of the show, though. Like, I always have wondered about that. Like, what if Bob the Drag Queen had to lip sync for your life in a tournament style? You know,
he probably still would have won because you got Naomi Smalls and Kim Chi. Which
I never predicted that Sasha Velour would have won her season. So I'm just. Like, I'm being real with you guys. Like, I feel like still anything can happen here at the end, especially if the crowd gets behind somebody. Like, Rue, like, more than anything, I feel like Rue listens to the people. That's why she's always like, you know, what do you say on social media? Hashtag Drag Race. Are you team, you know, Sharon Needles, team Chad Michaels, or team Fifi O'Hara? Like, I mean, like, I feel like Rue responds to that. So I don't feel like this is a done deal.
Hmm. I mean, so, I hope you're right. I do.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I see your point, Brent, about the fact that we're going to go to this, well, theoretically, lip sync finale. But in terms of just the narrative of the season, though, Joshua, I think, commented in the Facebook group about this, where it seems like the narrative would have been a Gigi versus Sherry storyline potentially. Yes. But yes. Now, because of the disqualification, we're just stuck with Gigi. And so it just feels like, okay, so Gigi's going to win, even though, you know, obviously we do have this lip sync that's going to happen at the end. So it makes it feel a little empty and kind of a little predictable for sure.
Yeah, well, they're trying to like retroactively elevate other queens that maybe, like, I think if they knew that Sherry Pie was going to be disqualified, maybe Jada ends up in the top instead of Crystal in this challenge. Maybe Widow ends up in the top instead of Crystal in this challenge. I feel like they would have done more to set us up for other possible endings. Instead, they're going to have to get really creative with the editing as we move down the line. And by the way, like I said, I still feel like Jada and Widow are in it to win it. All they have to do is get to the final 4 and anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Just as a fact checking, so Brent, I looked up to see what queens had won back to back challenges that weren't kind of in like the final four, final three realm. And there were four queens that I found. So Alexis Mateo in season three, she won the third and fourth challenge. We had Adore Delano win the sixth and seventh challenge. Shea Coulee won the fourth and fifth challenge, and Eureka won fifth and sixth challenge in season 11 or season 10. So
do you happen to like, I feel like that some of that was
all of them in the finale of that other seasons.
Yep. Eureka was in the finale. Shea Coulee was in the finale.
Right.
Adore. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that some of those wins were like team wins or like twosome wins. Like I know Shea Coulee like shared two of her wins, I thought, with like Sasha.
Yeah. One of those was a shared win with Shea.
Yeah. I feel like that, like, and I feel like Alexis also had like a double win with somebody else, like with like I can't remember
Shangela.
Who it was.
Mm-hmm. It was the acting challenge where they were.
Yeah,
the twins,
so like, I mean, like
stuck.
That's a little different to me. So I mean, and I do take your point. Thank you for looking that up. I'm my memory, my dementia. I can't remember. But overall though, like I still think it's amazing for like the show to actually award Gigi her singular win in the last episode, and then come back 7 days later and award her another singular win this time. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I don't know, I mean this is the last thing I'll say about it. It just feels like she won because of the way that she looked. I don't really take the X Factor argument. I just think it's because she looks good, they like her, it's easy to give her the win, and that's what
that
it comes down
that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think her runway to Amon is a similar story, so we can talk about that when we talk about the runways. But all right, let's move over to someone else. How about Jackie, who was the boy toy Madonna Amon?
It was okay.
Really? I didn't think so.
I feel like, I forget which judge said this about her before, but you can tell sometimes that Jackie is thinking about every single move that she's about to make, and it can translate into her face because her face can come off rather dead during performances sometimes. And I think that that's sort of like what was going on here. I think that she, you know, she hit all the marks. She did everything she was supposed to do, but it seemed there was something stale about it. It seemed like she wasn't fully there. It lacked a certain energy.
She was nervous. She also came right after Jan. I think that was also a part of it. But overall, I felt like the energy was just so lacking on stage. I thought she did the worst. I really did. I really thought that Jackie did the worst out of everybody for the Rusical. And it's because not only was she nervous on stage and you could see her thinking about her moves, but also I felt like she had tonally, I felt like the song was all wrong. And Widow called it in her confessional, too. It's not that you're being cutesy about the fact that you're a virgin. It's that you're not a virgin, but you want somebody to do you like a virgin. And it seemed like she just didn't understand the song. Like, I don't even know if they had a moment where they literally had to explain to her, you do realize what this whole number is about, right? Or not. Like, you don't understand what was Madonna like during this period of her life? Like, there was nobody in America who bought that she was like a virgin. I remember Bette Midler's old joke from like a virgin, sure. Like, that was the whole point of the song. And it didn't seem like the Jackie really understood that.
Right. Like, she's still sexy. Like, she's still supposed to be very super sexy. And Jackie was not that. I thought that it was, like you said, Brian, it didn't match. And it was a little boring. I didn't think it was bad. Again, I thought everyone did fine and everybody did a passable job. But I actually thought that Jackie was going to be one of the queens in the bottom. Alongside, actually, I thought Heidi, maybe it was going to be Jackie and Heidi. Although, you know, the narrative of the whole thing was Britta was probably going to go, but
right.
But yeah, it was even though she got the comments from Michelle, it seemed in the final product that the comments really hadn't quite been able to seep into the actual performance that she gave. Although RuPaul was laughing a lot during it, so at least RuPaul seemed to be entertained by this performance.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So anything else about Gigi? No more about Gigi. We've talked this to death. Britta. All right, Amon. What about Britta here with the cone bra Madonna?
So I'm like, I guess I'm a bad gay because I'm not really that familiar with a lot of Madonna eras. I mean, I recognize the look, though. I definitely recognize the cone bra. I'm not really sure about, you know, what era she's supposed to be, you know, emulating.
This is Express Yourself. This is like her taking, you know, female empowerment in terms of sex and how like women aren't just toys to be used. She's actually taking back her power during the sexual revolution of the female experience. Like, that's what it was supposed to be about in Express Yourself. So I feel like the Britta tried to do a good job here, Iman, but it just, I feel like it was a bad fit. Like, I found it very odd that she was campaigning for this particular number. She should have been more vocal about maybe, like, I don't know, Movie Star Madonna or Forever Madonna, anything that was not this Madonna, because it's really hard for Britta to be this sort of empowered, dominant, sexual version of herself that I feel like the song required.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think about the fit necessarily, and the fact that she did have a choice, right? Like, they got to choose their own roles. So I don't know if it was to the thing about God Bless the Gays that she really loved. And I thought that the vocals of doing the lower range, and I mean, clearly she has a very, very strong singing voice in that local range, I thought was actually really fun. And I don't know if that's something that she was intending to do, or if it was because of the David Steinberg and Eric Paparazzi who were in charge of doing all of the audio stuff. But I thought it was good that she needed bigger cones. I know that the costumes, I don't think were necessarily up to them, but they needed to be a little bit bigger, I thought, in proportion to the rest of her outfit. That was like my main complaint. And I did not even notice that the choreo was off when Britta was performing.
Yeah. Well, she did a good job of covering it, so I feel like props to her. But on the other hand, like, the show knows what the choreography is because they're the ones who gave it to her in the first place. So, like, she's kind of fighting a losing battle on that front.
Right.
This is just the Express. I guess the Express Yourself era was something that she just really, really related to. And I guess she felt like she could pull it off. I mean, I didn't notice a mess up in the choreography either. I'm like, I'm watching it as we're talking and I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
Well, she was talking about it in Untucked, so I feel like that's what isn't that what you're referring to, Liana?
Yeah, I didn't notice until they showed. I think it was when they showed it in Untucked. I can't remember, but they had to show the, like, you know, sort of grayed out, like, slow mo version of the backup dancers sort of being half a beat off from her, because during the actual show, I didn't notice it at all. So,
okay,
yeah, all right. Oh my God, Jada. Okay, this is a performance that I don't know if it's because sex sells, because this was so freaking sexy. Like, I just couldn't take my eyes off of Jada. And we've talked about this. She calls herself a female impersonator. And that's what this was. Oh my gosh, Brent. Amazing. I was just visually, I was astounded.
Yeah, and she moves like a female too. So that's similarly to me, to Gigi. They both move like the Madonna of old moved, like when she was on stage. Like, there's just a certain slinkiness and femininity and yet power that she has on stage that really emanates from everything that she's doing. I loved this performance. I didn't think it was totally safe. Like I said, I felt like Crystal was good, but not great. And didn't deserve to be in the top, but Rue, whatever. Rue likes Crystal, that's fine. And so, like, Jada was getting the short end of the stick because of that. But, like, I feel like some of her, lack of confidence over doing this really betrayed the fact that she was actually pretty good at it. Like, she was giving us everything that we were looking for in terms of that era Madonna of just absolute eroticism. Weird juxtaposition of S&M and power, and who really has the power. Is it the top or the bottom? Like, all of that was part of this element of Madonna, and I felt like that Jada gave it to us more than anybody up there on the stage.
Yeah, she looked so good. It was so, it was oozing sex. It was just the proportions were right, the whole outfit was right, the movements were right, and we got so many shots of the judges, like, reacting to all of the stuff that was going on stage, because it was getting so hot throughout that performance. So she definitely embodied that whole. Yeah. Yeah. It was just so good.
I love the Liana, the confessional of Heidi. Like, oh, it looks like Jada's actually having a problem with this. Like, is Jada not the trade of the season? Maybe I'm the trade of the season. I'm like, oh, no, girl. No, no, no. Try again.
I know. Cute little Heidi. Like, sorry, girl. It's not. And Jada obviously pulls through here.
Yeah.
All right. The next queen is Sherry Pie Brent doing the movie star Madonna.
I mean...
Ooh.
That's my fire alarm. Hold on one second. Just keep everything running. Sorry. I'm gonna
Puyas burning something in the kitchen.
Yeah, there's some. It's hot over there in the Puyan Liana household. I'll tell you that. All right, so I don't know if she wanted us to continue, but we'll continue vamping, Amon. How you doing, Amon? Let's talk to the people out there.
How are you guys doing in quarantine? You're listening to Quarantine Radio, the official station of the apocalypse, channel 666. Keep it tuned. We're going to be right back to your original programming.
Oh, God. Well, this has been a great discussion. By the way, the thing that you said about the fact that she didn't look like that she looks like Madonna. And so that's why they gave it to her. I think that's a real thing. I really do. And I want Liana to keep this in because like I feel like that's Amon, I'm so grateful that we have you here. And I hope you know this is coming from a real place of love for me. I'm just like, I think I might have missed that. You know what I mean? Like I do stand by the fact that I think Gigi has it. And thus I feel like that she was deserving of the win because of her wattage on stage. But I take your point on that. That may be seeping into Rue's thinking here. And it's probably an indictment of me that I missed that in the first place.
Yeah, I just really feel like sometimes, I mean, I think we all fall victim to it because, because it's a thought that I had, you know, when watching the episode, I definitely was like, oh, so like, I'm not, how am I supposed to, you know, see Madonna in some of these black queens? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. More specifically, somebody like Widow, who's is black and also bigger. So it's just like, this is not working for me.
It reminds me of like, you know, religious figures. Like, you grow up and you see them in whatever race you are. Like, I grew up and because I'm white, I see a white Jesus. And then you grow up and then you see that like your friends of a different race have different ideas of what Jesus might have looked like. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that really challenges your sense of thinking and what you think about the world and how you view things. And like realizing that whatever you thought about in your own little backyard doesn't necessarily square up with the way the real world looks right now. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liana, okay, where the hell are you?
I'm back.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, well, we can, I mean, do you, okay, no, yeah. The conversation, do you want that included or do you want that
yes.
cut?
Yes, I was just going to tell you, yeah, actually, just keep all of that in. That was actually really fun because the smoke alarm went off and then, like, Amon and I started talking about, like, the GG of it all and I was like, I'm really, like, thank God Amon was here for that because I totally missed the fact that, you know, GG might have gotten the win because she looked more like Madonna. And we, like, everything we just talked about, I was like, please keep that in because
okay, perfect.
It was good shit.
We're going to keep it all. We're going to keep all of this. All right.
Yes. So,
hot mess podcast alert. That's us. It's literally hot here because our friggin' fire alarm went off. Fine. Puya, burn the house down. No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yes.
We were talking about Sherry Pie. Yes. I was getting ready to expound on Sherry Pie.
Maybe that's why the fire alarm went off. Okay. Yes. okay, so, Brent, take it away.
I mean, like, they actually showed Sherry Pie this week. I think this is a real thing. We also got her in Untucked. We got confessionals of Sherry Pie in Untucked.
Yeah.
I feel like this is two things. I feel like they're running out of material. And like it's right. hard to have a discussion about like why Widow was upset or why Jada was upset in Untucked when you can't like hear from Sherry Pie. This is a real thing that the show is going to have to confront as they get lower and lower in numbers. It is impossible to edit around her. And this was just one of those instances where I feel like it was impossible to edit around Sherry. So as far as her performance goes, I actually really enjoyed her Ava Perone and her, I mean, but like she has this sort of quirkiness and a comedy sensibility about timing on stage and how she's supposed to interact with that. But I thought that she was giving us some of the best movie star Madonna out there, but there wasn't a lot of it. It was like she was there and then she was gone in a flash, to the point where it made me think that did they edit out like four bars of movie star Madonna, because she wasn't there for very long.
Yeah, she wasn't there for very long. And it's very strange narratively to show her one time and then not show her the next. I just feel like that's why at the beginning, when we were debating on how we wanted to handle the situation, I just kept saying, like, I feel like you're not doing yourself any favors by essentially telling us. I mean, you already pretty much told her that she's going to make it to the finale, but now you're trying to do your best to edit her out. But she makes it to finale, which means she's going to be a big part of the story. So editing her out in the first half of the season and then having her just in our faces for the whole latter half just doesn't really make sense. You might as well just give what you can when she's absolutely relevant. And then that way, when she makes it to the end, it's not so much of a jarring experience, because at the end of the day, she's not doing you guys any favors anyway. Like, more and more news is coming out about Sherry Pie. Like, apparently she was still doing all of this catfishing shit up until last month. So the girl is like, it is what it is at this point. Like, you can't really put out the fire. The fire is there, so you might as well just make the best of what you can. But yeah, I mean, as far as the performance is concerned, I mean, typical Sherry Pie. I mean, she's good at what she does. She knows how to act. It is what it is. And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they're trying to slowly reintroduce her into the season. Like, that's why we got the confessional in Untucked, not the main episode. Because, yeah, I mean, when you're down to final four, and she's still there, right? Like, you know, that's a quarter of the cast. So it just seems, I really don't know how it's going to go. There was some comments, and I think it was on Race Chasers, where they talked about the fact that because Disney was involved last episode, they may have requested or demanded that her runway not be shown. Which could explain then why we see it again here. So it could be because of the Disney thing, not because they're going to completely edit her out, you know, every single
episode.
I didn't
think about that. That's probably exactly it.
Yeah. The only comment I really have from her performance was the Eva Perón dress from Herstory, the musical, which I feel like that was nice of Roxy to lend her a dress. So that's all I have. That's the only joke I have. All right. Okay, Brent, Crystal is the next queen that we saw, and you talked about how she maybe didn't deserve to be in the top. What about her performance struck you?
I mean, it was fun. It was interesting. It was light and airy and had, you know, filled with lots of humor. But I didn't feel like she was necessarily totally comfortable on stage. And also, I felt like this was like putting a square peg into a square hole, if you know what I mean. Like, this was like a perfect fit. Like, I don't mean to criticize her by the fact that they gave her the hippy dippy role and she is kind of the hippy dippy girl. But I really didn't feel like there was much stretch here, whereas I did feel like there was stretch with more of the queens. And aside from the, you know, Liana, mm-hmm. like of it all, like I didn't think there was much more to it than that. But come for me if I'm wrong.
I liked her performance. This is like one of the eras of Madonna that I guess I am more familiar with, so it was just a little bit more recognizable for me. I liked the gap in the teeth that was kind of spot on. I mean, I thought that she really went there, because I mean, we've seen that she is someone that gets in her head a lot, and I feel like she, I don't know, I didn't get the uncomfortableness from her this time around. I felt like she really went for it and owned it. I don't think she was the best, but I agree with a safe rating. I think that was appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, I think the safe rating. I thought, again, like, I'm not going to punish her for being the hippy dippy one and like having the hippy dippy role. I thought she had the cool effect, which is a benefit of the writing, but she still sang it, and that, I guess, was her idea, which I thought was cool, and she did the lip syncing for it. So I thought that she was fun, and her sort of popping up that effect, I thought I thought was good. But again, that says more about the choreography that she was given, although she did execute it very well. So I would say safe probably for me is where I would put Crystal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that she I'm really not trying to penalize her for the fact that she was mm-hmm. what they gave her, you know, that she needed to be. It's that to me, she didn't exceed it. Like I knew like this is what she was. And I feel like she met the bar, but she didn't exceed the bar as far as the performance goes to me. There wasn't any wow moment where I was like, oh, wow. Like, I have to take a second look at that. That really surprised me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas there were other queens who I was like, ooh, I thought I knew what you were capable of, but you did so much more than what I knew. And how amazing is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think her personality, though, too, has been like, I just really like her. I think what was the word that she mispronounced? Nostalgia or something like that. Yeah. She was struggling with like, oh, you and your El DeBarge hair. Yeah. So cute, Crystal.
I love that they give us the rhythm of the night every time she comes on the screen. Like, it's very fun. I find myself really drawn to her. You know, not in the biblical way. Although I know Rue wants the biblical way, but whatever. Like when you're seeing her in confessional, it's like, oh my God, you're so cool. Like mm-hmm. and like one of our friends who listens to our podcast actually knows Crystal, and like she apparently is everything that we're getting on screen right now. So like I love the fact that there's an authenticity there that maybe doesn't come from some of the other queens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. All right, Widow Von Du is the next queen doing. I think it's Empire, but I also heard the lyric Fempire, which I loved as well. Amon, I thought she did overall a really good job.
Yeah, she did. She really sold it with that choreography that she was given. And, you know, the cane is the prop, and the whole look worked for me. I felt like she was really, really feeling it. I mean, we saw a little shot of RuPaul like dancing with her because she was sort of infectious what she had going on up there. I felt like she really just went for it. So this was definitely a top performance for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brent, what about you? I know you liked it. Yeah.
I mean, I loved Widow Von Du on this episode. I really thought she deserved to be in the top. I thought she was going to be in the top. The amount of power and pizzazz and star power that she had during the performance just blew me off the screen. It was absolutely phenomenal. I really love what she did with this because it captured this era of Madonna, which is the female business empowerment to the point where we are not being paid for what we are doing. And so I am going to come in and take it from you. Like, I am going to own 51% of this company and I won't hear another word about it. Everything that Widow was giving me in this performance was what I would normally feel like from that era of Madonna. And not only that, I feel like that Widow was sort of dancing almost like white Madonna. Like, I felt like there was a sense of the way Madonna dances that Widow captured in this performance that really struck me as, wow, you can kind of do anything. Like, it's not just your moves from like the bar where you were, which I feel like some queens do fall into sometimes. I felt like the choreography that Jamal had given her, or maybe that part of that she had thought of herself, really worked to overcome any vocal pitfalls that might have emanated from this part of the challenge, and thus the performance really carried it from me, and I was here for it.
Yeah, what I thought was really great, and I kind of didn't realize it until my like second, third, and fourth time watching, because I have watched this many a time, was that Widow didn't really have to rely on some of the tricks that we've seen her do before. Like, maybe you could say the cartwheel was, but as far as I could tell, she was doing the choreo that was given to her, and she did it throughout the whole thing. Whereas Heidi, who we'll talk about next, has done some things that we've seen in the lip syncs for your life, which is why I kind of get that they were like, oh, Heidi, we didn't see Madonna, we saw you. Whereas with Widow, I saw Madonna, like those movements, that was Madonna, bitch. And I loved the lyrics too. I know, you know, I know that's not her, but the dollar bills and the kissing Britney Spears and Christina, and I liked it, Katy Perry. That just the execution of that I thought was really great.
Yeah, we can't give her credit for the words, but we can certainly give her credit for the timing on stage to like her looks and her facial expressions and like the drops and the timing of it all was spot on. Like that is not easy to do. Even when you're like, it's your own words and you're lip syncing to your own words, you still have to know the timing of it all. And you get one shot on stage and she pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely, completely agree. Now, Heidi is our last queen. So I just want to start off by saying I love Heidi to death, but I do think that Heidi's performance was one of the weaker ones, probably along with Jackie, because I did feel I could get the critique that it didn't really feel necessarily like Madonna. And I've seen, you know, a few of Madonna's music videos from this era. This is the like Bitch I'm Madonna music video. Like that was her outfit was exactly from that music video, but it did still kind of feel like Heidi. Like Madonna would never, I mean, maybe never say never, but that head thing where she's, which is amazing, by the way, the leaning on her head and then the bouncing back up, which was so smooth and so perfect, looks great. But to me, Aman, that doesn't scream Madonna.
Yeah, I felt like she started off so well. I mean, because the lyrics that you know, she's referring to, you know, about being a little older. This is older Madonna, and she's, you know, she can't move exactly the way that she used to when she was younger, but she's still got it. She's still that bitch. That's like the whole theme. And I feel like she started off moving rather gingerly and going slowly into the tricks, but then towards the middle and the end, she just brought out all of the gymnastics. And I was like, okay, well now I felt like this was the time for you to go full comedy route. Like some queens can win a lip sync by not showing off their dance moves, but by showing off their comedic timing. If she were to move so gingerly the entire time, I felt like that would have served her better. It would have gotten Rue to laugh, which is going to, you know, save you. Cause as long as you make Rue laugh, you know, that's always a good thing. But I think that she was so focused on wanting to look good because she's also a dancer. So I feel like it's, you know, sometimes it's kind of like that thing where there are such good singers that when you try to tell them to sing off key, they can't do it. I feel like she's such a good dancer that when you try to tell her not to dance, it still looks good. So, yeah, I just she missed the mark. And that's ultimately is what's going to land her in the bottom.
Yeah, Brent, what were you thinking here?
I mean, like, you guys have pretty much said it. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of Madonna here. It was Heidi. I felt like she was a little uncomfortable, and she was trying her best. And I'm with you in terms of I love Heidi, and I really was rooting for her here. And I feel like it started off okay, but then I felt like she lost the plot a little bit as it went on.
Yeah.
So, gosh, yeah, I was feeling for her here.
She was bad because she was good.
Because she was herself. She was Heidi, who is amazing, but it just didn't really embody Madonna.
Especially like the lyrics just weren't helping. And the fact that the lyrics are all about like, don't be ageist. Like I'm older now, but it's okay. And then she's not moving like she's old. It just didn't work.
Yeah. All right. Before we talk about all of the runway looks, let's take a second to hear from our sponsors.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are back. Okay, our judges this week were Winnie Harlow and AOC. Brent, how did you feel about our judges?
Winnie Harlow?
Who?
What did she have to say? Was she even happy to be there?
Yeah, that was a miss. Like, She was on America's Next Top Model. Yeah, she was on season. She was on the first ever season. No, I'm about to lie. She was on one of the seasons where.
Don't lie, Amon.
She was on one of the seasons where they actually had guys in the competition as well. She didn't. She had a pretty rough stint on that show, but she was able to like pick up her career a little bit.
Well, she is phenomenal, but she was totally out of place on the judging panel of RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I think she had one or two lines the entire time.
She's not very charismatic. Like, and that's it's not even just on this show. Like, I've seen her in other things. She's very bland. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's not talk about her. Let's talk about AOC, because AOC was phenomenal. She was giving us life. I think that Jackie, I just want to give a shout out to Jackie. I don't know that she was playing the reality TV game, but if she was, I want to believe that she... I don't want to believe that it was a heartfelt moment. I want to believe that she was playing the reality TV game of sucking up to the guest judge when you're in the bottom so that they don't put you in the bottom too. Like, she was like... saying to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like, oh, it's so amazing what you do, and like, I'm just so proud to have you, you know, with the other representatives, and like, it's just so amazing to see what you do out there, and like, it really touches me, and like, I'm like, okay, so Jackie clearly isn't in the bottom. She's going to be third, but she's not going to be in the bottom two, so I really like that. And also, it's not easy for a politician to come on RuPaul's Drag Race, because you never know what's going to happen on RuPaul's Drag Race. And let's just be clear. I looked it up. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is actually 30 years old, but she's going to be 31 in October, which means she's going to be 35
4 years
from now.
Oh my God, yes. Brett, I did literally the exact same calculation. I was like, can I vote for her in 2024?
Yes. I was like, because there's all this talk, and I don't know if it's real, but that Joe Biden, if he wins, may not be... a two-term president, then he might just be, because he's often said, he said I'm a transitional candidate. That's what he said. Now, I know that there's been talk on the campaign trail that he might actually just serve one term. And, you know, the Democratic Party, I feel like in this, not to get too political, you guys, but just because we're talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I might as well just say AOC. That's a whole lot easier. But I'm so used to not saying that.
I love saying her name.
I know, right? I love her. I love saying her name, too. The fact that I feel like the elements of the Democratic Party were sort of like held at bay during this primary that we just had, that 4 years from now, they're going to be raring to go. And who's going to be there to pick up the pieces? I feel like it's going to be AOC. So, like, I'm so glad you did that, too, Liana, because I looked it up and I'm like, oh, she's 30. That means that she's not going to be able to run. But then I looked and saw she's going to be 31, which means she's going to be 35 by election day of 2024. And I'm like, so she knows 4 years from now, I'm going to be in the middle of a campaign, and I need to make sure I come on Drag Race and represent, so I don't offend anybody in a possible constituency in the future, but also for a possible general election that I didn't do anything that could be used against me. And I feel like she threaded that needle and was entertaining really, really well.
And I feel like she means it too. Like, she's obviously a fan of the show, and she knows the lore. She knows some of the other contestants, and she's very supportive of it all. And I mean, clearly she's a very influential person in the political landscape. But not too long ago, she was literally a bartender. Like, you just get like that she knows what the hell she's talking about, and she is here for the ride. So I appreciate it. And not to mention, she's like literally hosting Instagram lives, posting the Venmos of queens that are coming on to her Instagram live and performing. So she's about that life, okay? And I love it when there's a fan that's a guest judge, because you just know that they're going to be there for it. So yes, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And she's so inspirational. I love her so much. The fact she's, you know, a couple of years older than me, or 1 year older than me, whatever, it's fine. Like, you're so like, oh my God, it makes me want to like quit my job and run for Congress, even though it's a terrible idea.
No, literally though, I was like, damn, like, I feel like I have like a lot of opinions. I feel like I want to help people too. Like, maybe I should. Like, and that's the kind of person that should be in a position like that. Yes. You want people that are inspiring, and she is. So yes,
she's amazing.
And I will say, just to be totally draggy for a moment, I was living for that dress, you guys. Ugh. I was living for that dress that she was wearing, and she wore it so well.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. She's gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous. She just makes me happy. And she was a fantastic judge as well. So, like, is there anything she can't do? Certainly not fair. Yeah, really not fair. All right. Well, let's talk about Simply Jan, our first look that we get to see on the runway. And she did the Glamazonian Airways. Now, I think it's only fair. Let's talk about Jan and Gigi, I think, kind of as a pair, because for me, it kind of comes to the comparison again of like who I think deserves to win. Because I think for me, this Jan look of Michelle Visage was so spot on. And it really was that Glamazonian Airways look, Amon.
Yes. I mean, she looked like her to a T. She even painted like her. It's like, and then she added the prop of the suitcase to really, you know, tie the look together. She had the boob, she had the nail, she had the eyes, she had everything going for her. Like, it was the attention to detail, like so many of the queens, was was just was great. I loved it.
And yeah, the paint Amon is what I'm looking at. I'm just like, oh my god, like if there was a tiebreaker, if they were looking for a tiebreaker, they really should have gone with her on this one, maybe, because like the paint is so Michelle. I still feel like how I feel about the performance, but like as far as the runway goes, if they're even looking at the runway, which it didn't really seem like they were for the most part, this runway was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I get Michelle has had, I mean, you know, she's done a lot in her career, and so you're gonna have a lot of different looks, but I love something that just screams like quintessential Michelle, and there are a couple of looks
quintessential. Yes,
there are a couple of looks that did it, and I thought this was one of them, especially, and yeah, felt, like you guys are talking about the way she paints.
Yeah exactly. And Gigi's was like, okay, I'm not backtracking, but was this a little bit of a cop-out?
Yes, it was. Yes. It was a cop-out. The girl is fucking skinny. The girl is fucking pretty. And she went for a look that she was like, you know, I don't want to, I want to think outside of the box, because all the other girls are probably going to do this shit that she's wore on the runway. So let me do with some kind of deep dive and find some look that's really, really cool that I can pull off because I'm skinny and all this, that, and the third, to the point that it was so obscure that they didn't even have a real fucking picture of her for the side by side. They had a fucking piece of fan art. But you had to do your own search if you wanted to know.
Oh,
and that's bullshit. Because if we're talking about runways of 1,000 Michelles, yeah, sure. Okay, fine. Think outside of the box. You know, do something that's a little bit different. But at the same time, I just feel like if we have to look to make sure that this is something that's good, then you're missing the mark here. You're missing the mark.
Yeah. I mean, this, and then couple it with the win here. Like, I just got the flashbacks to the Aja coming out here in a diaper, you know, because it looked a little bit like that. So, because
you're,
I mean,
perfect,
come on, like,
you're beautiful.
Look, okay,
you look like Linda Evangelista. She's a model.
Literally. Exactly. That. Take this look and put it on Widow. For example, like, what do you think the critiques look like then? You know?
Exactly. And it's not to shame the bitch. Like, yeah, sure. Right. Use what you got. You know, flaunt your assets. We get it. But like, I just, like you said it perfectly, like this coupled with the fact that she already won something that was close enough to give it to Jan. And it's just like, okay, what's going on here? What is going on?
Rigor mortis, girl.
Rigor mortis.
Yeah, because that was essentially Gigi's look, was some fabric. She looks gorgeous. She looks gorgeous. And the attention to detail of the nails, sure, that's a thing.
She knows how to walk the runway. And it's like all with the nails and the way she had her hands and the way, like, all of that really worked. But I'm so taken by the fact that I'm like, so did she, like, is this a cop out? And both of you in unison were like, yes!
Yes, it is.
There's no, I mean, where she looked like Madonna, maybe in the challenge, she looked nothing like Michelle. You know, like, I just did not get from Michelle from her at all. And I think that's the point of the runway. And I, you know.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about somebody who really was quintessential Michelle, and that was Jackie Cox Brent. I thought this was so iconic.
Yeah, if you don't believe me that she saved herself from the bottom with kissing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's ass just a little bit, then I think she saved herself from the bottom with this look. This was great. But it also helps that she's from that area and she was giving us that area. But also, there are other queens that are from the area and didn't give us what I feel like was quintessential Michelle. And Jackie did. Like, I love this beat, the way she's got her boobs positioned insofar as the corset. And like, it's like, it just, boy, it really, I know that Michelle had a breast reduction in recent years. That's why RuPaul had the crack about, you know, I cheer if you were thinking about, how did she say it? Like, cheer if you're thinking about,
if you miss her boobs or something like that.
If you miss her boobs, yeah, exactly. But like, this look to me just is so quintessential Michelle, with the hair and the boobs and the rings and the nails, and like, oh, it's so great. And the way she acted on the runway too, like, huh, me? Like, it was just, It made me so happy. Like, you can instantly look at this and go, okay, she's Michelle Visage.
Yeah, I think
that's a test.
It was great. Everything about it was awesome. I think what really sent it over the top for me was just Michelle's reaction and how she was just so enamored by. I just love the fact that I just love this runway idea in general. I like the fact that Michelle's getting some shine, because sometimes, and maybe I'm being a little bit too sensitive here, but sometimes Michelle is the butt of the joke a lot. And I'm like, she seems to take it in stride very well, but sometimes I'm like, okay, this is getting a little, because at the end of the day, this is a drag competition that features primarily a lot of men, and sometimes I'm like, there's all these men in the room just ragging on this one lady, and sometimes I'm like, ah. So I'm glad that this was sort of like a celebration of her, and I felt like Jackie's look was one of the ones that she responded very, very well to, and that made me happy to see. So,
Amon, that's my entire life, is you guys just sit around and rag on me. I totally identify.
Yes, you're the Michelle Visage of the panel. The thing that I loved the most was when Jackie shows off that lightning bolt ring and Michelle goes, "She's got my ring," or something like that.
Yes,
just that very
right.
earnest, honest response to just being genuinely excited that somebody has emulated you in such a way was really heartwarming. And even Michelle's face when Rue said the night of 1,000 Michelles, like, oh my gosh, you know, her jaw was on the ground.
I'm really glad that they kept it secret from her. That's awesome.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I thought it was a joke at first. Are you with me on that? Like, when they said it, Rue's like, and the category tonight, Night of 1,000 Michelle Visages. And I'm like, oh, like, that's just like a joke, right? And I'm like, oh, they actually are doing that. That's funny. Like,
yeah, no jokes here. Well, Britta is the next queen to walk the runway, and she did the season 10, I think, finale look, Amon.
Yes, season 10 finale. Spot on. The dress looked almost identical to what she had on. And I love the little bit with the card saying, "Britta, you are the winner of this challenge."
A little overdone, I think. A little overdone.
Really?
Like, she showed it and then she turned, like, kept walking the runway and then she kept showing it. And when we knew that she was going to be in the bottom, it was a little bit of a cringe moment to me.
I mean, I thought it was funny. I thought it was like, you know, do what you can, man. Like, if you're going to be going out, you might as well just give him something. And the fact that she is the person that goes home just makes it kind of funnier to me. But I mean, I liked it. I thought she embodied season 10 finale Michelle pretty well.
I guess technically they did say Britta's name at the end. It was just to go home. But yeah, the look I thought the look was cute. It was fine. It looked a little on the cheap side, or at least the pictures that I'm looking at right now. But I thought it fit her body really well. I mean, we've talked about this before. She knows the way that her body looks. And I'm sure that this gown and this choice was with that silhouette in mind, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, like, as far as the silhouette goes, but, you know, I'm coming for the card, but other than that, I feel like she did a pretty great job. I remember this part of the show when she came out and had this dress on and looked like this with the glasses that she's taking on and off. And, like, I feel like it was looking great. Like, as they talked about, not to come for the earrings, but just to come for the earrings, Michelle never does. Like, I need to go back and look at her look from before, but she never does understated earrings like that. Like, that's not what she ever is seen at in RuPaul's Drag Race. So I understood the judge's criticism on that. Also, I know she's trying to emulate the dress, but the fabric looks a little cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little cheap to me. It does not look like the Michelle Visage dress. It looks like a cheap imitation of it, like the Walmart brand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Wish brand.
Yeah.
The knockoff. But yeah, I thought the critique of the earrings was extraordinarily nitpicky, yet at the same time, that's the point. I mean, we're at that level. Like, everybody did so well.
Mm-hmm.
That you really are nitpicking at this point. And so I could understand it a little bit more, although it did feel like, look, come on, you know, it's earrings. But at the same time, you know, obviously we all saw the performances and everything was so, like, so well done.
Right.
All right. Well, Jada is our next queen, who also, again, has such an literally iconic look of Michelle Visage, which this is the one also from that. What was the acting challenge? It was the Merle Ginsburg one, right? Where they all from season, I want to say 7, where what happened to Merle Ginsburg? I think right. This is the Michelle outfit that they had the queens who played Michelle wear. So I thought this was truly, truly iconic, Brent.
This one was great. Amon, I was living for this. I know that like she didn't get the icon exactly right for the necklace or whatever like is, you know, I think it's a necklace, right? Mm-hmm. That's around around her neck. But like the font is not exactly right. And so maybe you can come for that a little bit. But overall, the look is so fucking hot. And she went out of her way to try to get other aspects of it so on. And the paint, I do feel like was a darker paint as far as around the eyeshadow that more than Jada normally gives us because she's trying to emulate Michelle. I really was here for this look. Also with the gloves and the attention to detail as far as the sexuality of it goes. I love this. Also is Jada the one that has the star around her boobs or is it Michelle or is it just Jada? Sorry.
Oh, the
I'm talking about the
underneath.
Tattoo.
I think it's Michelle. I think she has that.
Okay, I can't remember. I thought it was Michelle that has that, and then Jada was emulating it because I don't think I've seen that before from Jada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd have to like. It's not often that Michelle wears like her breasts that wide open.
yeah. No, I don't think she has it because from the Rusical, she's Jada.
Yeah, I don't
is,
see that. Yeah.
Is pretty okay. Naked and you can't
okay.
see the
so stars. So she even got that right. Like that's really great.
I liked it too. The only thing that was taking me out of it was the breastplate. You can see the clear as she's walking on the runway. They wiggle like breasts are supposed to. But with that comes like the separation of the plate and the rest of her chest. So I kept looking at it. But once again, like we're sort of nitpicking here. But that was the one thing that I was like, I just wish that was like I wish that she had like I don't know. I don't even know what you would do. Like blend it more with the makeup or I don't know. But mm-hmm. It sort of took me out of it for a little bit.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing. I kept staring at it, mainly because I like staring at titties, but also because there was the cap underneath as well. So it was like a combination right. of the two that really drew my eye. Okay, Crystal, Lady in Red. All right, here's the thing. I am 100% behind supporting Crystal doing her style of makeup. However, this is the one time where I felt like this is your opportunity to do Michelle Visage. Just do it once. Like, try to paint a little bit more like Michelle, Amon. That was my thought in this moment. Otherwise, I loved the look.
Yeah, it was, especially since, you know, they gave the side-by-side, and you can clearly see the stark contrast in the face beat. I mean, the outfit was there and everything, but all you had to do was just not be Crystal from the neck up. She couldn't do it. It was like one of the weakest of all of them for me.
The looks. Uh-huh. Brent, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, like, she went really far back and tried to grab something from Michelle's earlier history. But like the only thing that I could see was the beat. The beat was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you, Liana. We love Crystal. And I do feel like that she's tried to make changes to her makeup to satisfy the judges, but also still trying to be like officially Crystal. But this is the one time where if she wanted to show off her makeup skills, I feel like she really should have done the Michelle beat here, but I don't think that she's capable of that or that she thought of doing that. Also, it might have been a part where she's not very confident in like if here's the thing, if Crystal knew, okay, I'm going to end up in the top in this challenge, then I feel like she would have gone out here maybe and like been open to the idea of painting like Michelle. But when you're nervous about your performance and you don't know how it's going to be received by the judges and you haven't been ending up in the top at all previously, I feel like you do things that are closer to home that you're familiar with. And so that's what we got this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's entirely possible. Fine, Crystal. Fine. I still love you. All right. Well, Brent, the next queen, Widow, who you love. Tell me about her look.
I mean, this is just everything. I love it. Oh, my God. I love you, Widow. I really hope Widow wins the season if it's not Gigi Good. Like, I just love Widow Von Du. She's giving me everything. She is like a thick, big girl who is coming out here and giving us sex. Sex, I tell you. It is just sex on top of sex. It's sex on a stick. And I'm so here for it. As far as like the actual part of the challenge, like, you know, comparing it to Michelle Visage. I don't know that she necessarily got all of it. It's a little bit like you squint your eyes and yeah, she kind of looks like Michelle Visage did back then. But it's such a fantastic look, and it's like I feel like she could have done like so many different things that Michelle has done throughout the years, and the fact that she chose this one that's so form-fitting, so tight. And I know Michelle wears a lot of tight things, but like this kind of tight is different, where it's literally showing up every wrinkle, every curve, every part of your body. And she went out there and she owned that shit, bitch. And I was so here for it. I love this look. Now don't rain on my parade.
Who
you got nothing to say about somebody,
on.
Then don't say anything at all.
Okay, here's the thing. I feel like a little bit she was plucked from a different challenge and stuck here. Because I, even when looking at the side-by-side, I immediately saw a ton of things that were different. So I was like, if this is a compare two pictures, like I can identify all of the differences here.
Yeah.
So I love the choice to go with something sexy. I love the fact that she is unapologetic, much like unapologetic Madonna, about showing off her body. I think that that's amazing. But to me, Aman, I didn't quite see the Michelle here.
Yeah, I just feel like if we're doing Night of a Thousand Michelle Visages, we're doing Night of a Thousand Michelle Visages at Drag Race. Not, you know, obviously it's people want to think outside the box, but I think Gigi and her and Crystal and Heidi all tried to do something that was outside of the context of Drag Race. And the unfortunate reality is that one is going to be received a lot better than the others. And that one is Gigi because skinny queen. The other ones, I just feel like you are biting yourself in the foot or biting yourself in the foot. Biting I just feel like you're selling yourself short if you don't go for a look that is more recognizable because she wore it on the show. And I just feel like this look is so pedestrian, and while it might be something that Michelle wore, is it Drag Race runway worthy? And I just don't know if it is. I'm not saying that she looks bad, I just don't think that she hit the mark. In the same way that I think that Gigi missed the mark, it's just that Gigi got away with it, and that is something that she did.
Yeah, I have no problem if a queen is going to pull from, is going to pull from different looks that Michelle has done that's not necessarily Drag Race. But again, when I saw the comparison side by side, I was like, this to me is like, seems like a little bit of, there are clear differences here. And so I think that was kind of like the biggest thing that stood out to me. Also, there's something about the top of the pants. The elastic in the pants. I don't know. Like it was higher waisted, I know, than Michelle's was, which I'm sure, you know, was a choice that she made. But I don't know. It kind of feels like maybe she like had the pants and then repurposed them. But
yeah, it didn't look it looked cheap, which is
It did kind of look cheap.
All right.
I'm sorry, Brent. I love Widow too, but I was just like, I was excited to see what she was going to do because she usually, you know, she brings it for the runways as well. So I was like, oh, what's going to happen? And then she turns the corner and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, given your opinion, Aman, on what Michelle looks should have been chosen, please walk me through your thoughts on Heidi's look, which was based on when she visited the set of Townie, which I had to look up, is the show The Only Way is Essex.
The same thing. It's just like you're digging into the archives. Like you're like, what are you searching on the internet? Like you just, it's strange. And it doesn't. It looks too pedestrian. And then there's one thing that Michelle Visage does not look on this show. It's pedestrian. She always has something that's interesting on. And I just feel like you went for something that with the most interesting thing about it was the hair. But come on. Like, I don't know. It's not working. It just feels very stale and just very, I mean, you tried to think outside of the box, and you're just clearly not even in the box at all. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Sorry, we're talking about Heidi, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I got a text on my phone about the government stimulus check, so I was checking to see.
Bitch, where my money?
Where my money? Yeah, bitch. but yeah, like, look, Heidi here, man. The things that I feel like we're given credit to Jan for, okay, this is an amazing outfit, and yet you dragged it up a little bit more, and it looks even draggier. I feel like that Heidi tried to do that in her version of the outfit, but it came off looking really not appropriate. It like the hair is wrong. The makeup is not right. It just looks like it's the same old from her. Also, the outfit, like, I've never seen Michelle Visage look that boring and that cheap before. Like, well, I've seen her look cheap. She owns that. But I've never seen her look that muted before, and that's what this outfit looks like. It looks muted to me, and that's just not Michelle. Also, I can question the fit of the dress. Doesn't look great to me either. Like, it looks like she's lost some weight, and it looks like it doesn't exactly fit the way it needs to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at the picture right now, and the hair is wrong, the earrings are wrong, doesn't have a necklace, Michelle has a necklace, the dress is wrong, the pattern is wrong, the bust line is wrong, the coat thing, this like shawl poncho thing, whatever, is mm-hmm. wrong. The only thing that looks close to right are the shoes, so I will give her credit for the shoes. But if you're gonna pick on Britta for having the wrong earrings, literally yeah. everything except for the shoes here is off. So that's the true tea.
That's the tea. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. We didn't talk about Sherry Pie. Crap. Does anybody have thoughts? Did we talk about Sherry Pie? I don't remember.
She looks good. The dress is starting to... I'm starting to recognize a pattern and silhouette when it comes to a lot of her dresses, which is like, oh, interesting. But other than that, yeah, fine, whatever.
What did she do again? It's not on the we get these dresses from the RuPaul's Drag Race Instagram, and they don't put it on there, so I can't even remember what she did.
She did
Kitty Girl,
yeah,
the Kitty Girl look from the with the choreography where it's her and
oh mm-hmm. my god, yes, okay, I love this look only because I was like, she got the choreography right, like that's Michelle. I've watched the Kitty Girl video like at least 5,000 times because it's literally like one of my favorite things ever, which was right before Shangela got robbed, no tea. But the Kitty Girl video was so good. And also Kennedy Davenport is in that, and I live for Kennedy Davenport. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that Michelle and Ross and Carson have a little moment where they're like, you know, like, do, 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 boom. Like, that's all they do. That's literally all they do. And the fact that Sherry thought of that when doing this number, it just cracked me the fuck up. So I know we're not supposed to like Sherry Pie. I don't like Sherry Pie, but I got what the judges were giggling at over this, and it was so Michelle.
Okay, let's start to wrap this up. Okay, so Sherry Pie, Jada, Widow, we're all safe. We had Jan in the top. Gigi ends up winning. Crystal was also in the top. And then Jackie was decided to be safe, and we have Britta and Heidi as our bottom two. Brent, what did you think about this decision, and what did you think about the lip sync?
Not surprised by the decision. The lip sync was a little boring to me. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, last week we got Frozen, and I know that, you know, Amon came from the fire of it all when it was supposed to be Frozen, and that was accurate, but at least it was something that kept me entertained. But this, not so much. This was pretty boring to me. This is what happens, I feel like, when Rue like definitely wants to get rid of someone. She just puts out a very non-exciting song.
Yeah, it was the song.
And then, like, and because of that, then Rue can kind of do what she wants as far as, like, if she wants to give somebody the heave-ho who she's not here for anymore. Like, does mm-hmm. that make sense? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, yeah. Definitely.
Like,
I agree.
Like, yeah. Like, there are times in RuPaul's Drag Race where somebody who, you know, may be able to, like I think on another day, Britta might have been able to defeat Heidi if the number was Frozen from last week. But because of the song, neither of them did much. And so because of that, they're basically going off the way that the season's been going, and Britta hasn't been performing, and thus she was given the heave-ho. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't do enough to change the judge's mind that it was her that needed to go.
Honestly, what I was thinking was like, damn, like, Heidi, you cannot be in the bottom again, because if you do, you most likely go home, because she she really busted out a lot of tricks for this song. And I really felt like she should have played the reality TV game and sort of like caught on to the fact that Britta's probably going to be the one to go here. This is her second week in the row on the bottom. Like, I of course I'm going to fight for my life in this lip sync, but maybe I don't need to show all the tricks, especially since this is a dancing challenge week. So I already showed some of my tricks. So I just feel like if she's ever in the bottom again, she's going to have to like, I don't know, like, tear herself a new asshole in order to stay, because at this point, like, what else is she going to give us?
Right. On stage, that's her new trick. Right. Yeah, I okay, so all things considered, so I knew Britta was gonna, or I mean, I felt in my heart that Britta was probably gonna go home. Third time in the bottom, you don't lip sync four times, like, Britta's gonna go. So that's what I was thinking. But then when I started to add up all the points kind of afterwards, if we could assign points for all these things, I was like, well, I thought Heidi's look was worse, I thought Heidi's performance was actually worse, and if I had to pick a winner, I might have picked Britta as the winner of this lip sync, even though I agree it was close, it was boring, I wasn't like really necessarily here for it. But, you know, Rue loves Heidi, I love Heidi, I wasn't ready to see Heidi go. So I was happy, I guess, with the decision, but I could have seen it just based on performance going either way. But this is a reality TV show, and this season especially feels overproduced. So I was like, bye, Britta, bye, girl, bye.
Right.
Yep.
I hear you.
Yeah,
that's a fair point. Okay. I just felt like that, like, because Aiden's gone, I felt like that Britta was going to give the heave-ho, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Brent, do you have anything to say about Untucked?
Nothing to say about Untucked. Amon, do you have anything to say about it? I did want to talk about something else really quickly before we depart for the end of the show. Do you want to talk about Untucked?
No, I'm good.
Okay, Brent, what you got?
I just want to talk about this because, like, I feel like this isn't getting enough play, and I really feel like that it deserves to get more play. So have you guys noticed the queens who are verified and who are not verified on Twitter? Let me just tell you the queens that are currently in the competition who are verified on Twitter. Okay. Sherry Pie is verified and she has about 7,000 followers. Jan Sport is verified. And Crystal Method is also verified. You want to know who's not currently verified with more followers than Sherry Pie and Jan Sport? Jada Essence Hall, Widow Von Du, and Jackie Cox. Please, and also Heidi and Closet. Can you please tell me what those queens have in common insofar as the other queens go? Because how in the world is somebody like Sherry Pie and Crystal Method, who literally came from nowhere, verified on Twitter when a queen like Jada Essence Hall and Widow Von Du are not verified? Anybody got anything for this?
Twitter done be racist, y'all.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
So
what the fuck?
Yeah, that. So I know that the queens primarily use Instagram. I mean, look, I'm not going to take away from what is clearly like seems to be some sort of systemic bias, right? Like, how do you get verified? Do you apply for a thing, or did you just like?
It used to be on Twitter. You used to be able to apply, and I was literally almost at my 10,000th follower, so I was like counting the days because you could, once you got to 10,000 followers, you could apply, right? But then, because some white racist asshole, some white supremacist, got verified on Twitter, Twitter literally took down the entire verification system, and since then, they have not put it back up. So basically, you just have to wait for the good graces of Twitter to verify you. And thus, that's why these queens are literally powerless to do anything unless somebody brings attention to it. And I know that, you know, maybe our little podcast won't do anything, but I'm really hopeful that more people will be outraged by the fact that these queens who are asking about it. It's not like, yeah, I take your point, Liana. They do Instagram and that's great. But they also use Twitter. Jada was just on the other day asking about the fact that why hadn't she been verified yet? Widow's asking, why haven't I been verified yet? Again, why have other queens been verified of lesser stature who happen to be white, not taking anything away from them, especially like Crystal and Jan, but it's the truth. And these other queens who are also phenomenal, who are on the same season, have not been verified. Please tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, it's really coming down to like, from what I can understand, it's about who you know. And a person that I follow, actually, his name is Jabuki Young White. He's a young comedian. He's just got hired to be on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. He has been amassing a Twitter following for like the past like 3 or 4 years. I think he's like at around like almost 200,000 now. He got verified at the end of last year. He's been suspended quite a few times for tweeting out some controversial stuff. Like he'll, you know, change his name to like mirror the CNN handle. So it makes it seem like CNN is tweeting something. And so it happens sometimes and he'll get suspended. This time around, he made an offensive joke about Joe Biden not being dead, but actually going outside to get some dick or something like that. Twitter suspended him, and not only did it suspend him this time, but they also went ahead and removed his blue check mark. But before they went ahead and did that, he did have like a whole thread about like how it's really about if you know some particular white person that works for Twitter in NYC, and that's how you get yourself through to get, you know, the verification. So I'm guessing, you know, because people like Jan, like, I mean, who lives in NYC, has certain connections with certain people, and I mean, Twitter's office is in NYC. So it's probably that's how she was able to get, you know, through. So if you don't have that connection, then you're sort of like SOL. And I don't think that any of them have that connection. And it certainly does not look good that, of course, all of the ones that are black are also the ones that are not
right
there, especially since some of them are like, you know, gonna make it towards the end of the show. Like, it's just like what's going on here? And the same thing happened last year. Like, I think it took like a while for Silky Nutmeg to get anything on Twitter. So it's weird. It's a little strange.
Yeah, Heidi's also not verified on Twitter. I just checked. Although she is verified on Insta. So for Insta, Sherry Pie and Widow are the only two that were not verified. Jan Sport, Crystal Method, Jada Essence Hall, Jackie Cox, and Heidi all were verified. So
yeah, Insta actually has a process, whereas Twitter does not. And I don't know why they don't use the Insta process, because I feel like Insta has a handle on it.
Right.
I honestly feel like people are paying to get verified. I think that's really, really comes down to.
Oh wait, what? So how do I send in my money?
I'm using my stimulus check to get verified on Twitter.
Yeah,
how
that
do
stimulus
I do that?
Check just came in. Wait, let me check.
Stimulating the economy, whatever. Okay. Well, next week we are going to have the queens create and market extravagant products for a new drag queen lifestyle brand, Droop, which I'm excited about. I think that's going to be fun. So we get
that's
going to
be fun.
This Goop parody, which I think will be hilarious. The other thing that was announced this week was the secret celebrity drag race, because we all know it's a secret. It's going to be a 4-week event that starts on the 24th of April. So what we're going to do, we talked about it, and we kind of want to see if it's good or not. If it's good, we'll talk about it. If it's not so good, we'll probably still talk about it, just in a very abbreviated form. So just so you guys know, we will be doing at least some modicum of coverage on it. It just depends on whether or not it's good. So keep that. Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be really good. If anything, if not for the celebrities, then for all of the girls that are coming back, because we've seen all the promo material. You got, you know, Shea Coulee is there, Bob the Drag Queen, Trixie Mattel, who else? Shangela is there. So many people. So I'm definitely going to be excited to see all the queens come back to help out.
Yeah, I think we don't have any concept of the caliber of celebrities that we're going to see, but at least we're going to see some bomb ass celebrity queens back on our screen. So Amon pointed out, I think that's going to be amazing. All right, Brent, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to these days?
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That is one spelled out, O-N-E, across all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And you can see me playing Old Maid with my nephew and niece over the weekend. That was actually pretty fun. Somebody took video of that. My brother-in-law took video of that, and it was all over my little Instagram. And I thought it was very cute, especially when I lost the game and she said, "You're the old maid, Uncle Brent. You're the old maid." I'm like, I get that a lot. Oh, my God. But yeah, you can find me there. I am currently not doing a whole lot. We're talking about Drag Race, obviously, but Big Brother Canada has long since been canceled because of freaking coronavirus. And the one thing I am doing is helping out and definitely promoting Sequester. So if you guys didn't watch, all of us, Liana, Amon, and myself, were involved in a RHAP Sequester mini a week and a half ago, and it lit up social media. In fact, it was trending on Twitter. And I just want to say, it wasn't trending on Twitter for like the trends for you. It was trending on real Twitter, like actual rankings of Twitter. And I was so here for that. So if that happened with the RHAP sequester mini, I can only imagine what's going to happen with the upcoming Big Brother Canada versus Big Brother US mini. And people have been asking us, me, Taryn, other people that talk about sequester, for coverage of that. And all I can say is this, that I feel like any preview coverage would probably have a disparate impact on the game, because I know the players would listen to it if I definitely talked about who I thought was the favorite, like basically who is the yeah. Puya and Liana, who are the people with the most connections. I feel like people would listen to it, so you're more likely to get a post game retrospective from us than a pregame. But we will try and have you taken care of, especially if you're looking for content.
Yeah, I definitely, as soon as I saw that the BB Can versus BBS is coming, I was like, I'm not saying anything, because I know for a fact that there are players that will see tweets and that is going to affect. I just want to see how the game plans out, and that's it. Like, I don't want to have any kind of hand on any scale. I just want to see it happen.
I will say this though, that when I was looking for people who wanted to play in the RHAP sequester mini, and then I asked for people and people responded. Liana was one of the first people to respond. And immediately after she responded, I was like, you're hating the fact that you just exposed that you and Puya are actually together like a couple weeks ago, aren't you? You're hating life right now. And then they ended up going to the end anyway. So like, I don't think that it even necessarily mattered.
Don't matter none. All right, Amon, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. Same thing for Instagram. I actually have been thinking about doing a little rewatch of every single Big Brother premiere episode, Canadian included, because of the fact that we are missing out on so many awesome Big Brother moments in the cancellation of BB Can 8. So I think I'm going to be streaming those on Twitch. So if anybody wants to reach out and hang out with me there, I'm going to be doing that sometime this week.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Mike Bloom and I talked on the RHAP BNB this week with journalist and TikTok star Dave Jorgensen, which he was so incredibly enthusiastic, has some amazing stories. Apparently he was in casting, and we got to play a ton of fun games. So check that out in the Survivor feed. And then Puya Zambakili and I talked about the Masked Singer episode. So that is out as well. Become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out patreon.com for all the added benefits and bonuses that you get when you become a patron. Leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Of course, huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.